freedom.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track, where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the fortifies and the humming whys. Hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Welcome everybody to the Stabcast. Welcome to the Stabcast. I'm here with Mindy.
And I'm here with Daniel, and we are here tonight to discuss kind of a hidden gem, a very underrated movie that is called Look Away.
Yes.
It stars the gorgeous India Emsley. Most of the time, she's in Lifetime things. For instance, she did Nanny Cam. She also did a piece called, which I really, really recommend this because it was a book first and I love the book.
Yeah.
She was in a film adaptation of My Sweet Audrina.
Okay.
And she did an amazing job. So all of her movies have had a little bit of edginess.
Yeah.
So when I first found out that she was in this, I got kind of excited. I like the girl. I think she's, it's not like she's gorgeous or anything like that, but I like her to be, I like her range, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure
she's
you can tell by her. I know, and I'm sure you could tell by, I don't want to give it away just yet, but I'm sure you could tell by the casting and whatnot that she really is the glue that holds this thing together. It really relies on her performances.
For sure.
That's what I really enjoy about it, is the fact that she's able to turn it off and on.
Yeah. I think it's well acted across the board, but I think her performance is really good. I don't have anything wrong with her. I think the writing gets a little much in areas. If we're going to dive right into it, I think, like, there is flaws with this movie, but she's not one of them.
Yeah. Do you want me to go over the plot? I have it all written down.
Yeah, go over the plot. I mean,
okay.
Yeah,
so basically, this is my summary. We open up to a very creepy ultrasound. In one instant, there's one embryo, there's one baby. And then all of a sudden, there's a second baby. And if you look closely, I don't even know if Daniel noticed this, but if you look closely, one twin beats the hell out of the other twin. So when they were born and whatnot, they leave it at that. And then we're introduced to poor, sweet, quiet, mistrusting Maria, who has exactly one friend named Lily. And she thinks Lily is her best friend, but Lily is very much out for herself. So basically, she's a bitch. And never stands up for Maria, even when she needs her the most. Even when she's being tormented and taunted and teased and physically assaulted, she doesn't do anything. And she also holds her boyfriend back from helping her. And that's really disgusting. That just shows the kind of person that she is. And, like, he cares more about Maria's safety than she does. But it also, unfortunately, makes her very jealous. So there's, like, this one scene. They end up having a winter prom on a ice skating rink, which I think is really stupid, honestly. But the more I think about it, they are in uniform, so maybe it's a thing. Like, maybe they have ice skating classes. I don't know. But I just think that's very dangerous and very stupid. But before all this, before that, we actually meet a young lady who looks exactly named Maria, but she's trapped inside the mirror, and her name is actually Era, which is Maria spelled backwards. And Aram is telling her, like, everything she basically doesn't want to hear. Like, her dad doesn't care about her. Her mom doesn't care about her. Her friends don't care about her. Like, she got a really big wake-up call. And then she decides that she's going to go to winter prom. So she goes ice skating with her so-called best friend. And Lily watches her land on her ass several times and would not help her.
No.
She just
crazy.
Kept circling her, going, "He's mine, you know." And, like, she doesn't even know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
she didn't make a move on Sean or anything, so she doesn't even know.
She knows.
And she left her there on the ice to try and get up. And, like, the poor thing had bruises all over her.
She definitely knows.
Well, I think she thinks that they're too close.
Cause
but,
her and
I mean,
Sean
she didn't have to do all that bullshit.
No, she didn't. She didn't. But
and
Maria
then,
definitely
so,
knows.
And she also has a very prestigious father named Dan. He is the best plastic surgeon in the city, and he is also a douchebag. Very just commanding and demanding and just an overall douche, basically. And we'll get more into that in a second. So she goes out on a date, daddy-daughter date, with her father. Apparently she does this all the time. She looks behind her in the movies, and there's this guy named Mark. Now, Mark torments her. Like, he makes her life a living hell. And no one knows why. He just likes to do it. I think it's honestly because no one stopped him before. That's what really irritates me, too, about this movie, is that, like, there's so many people at so many different times that they're like, "Help her, help her. Why don't you help her?"
Yeah.
Like, go get an adult or something. Don't scream, like, "Help her, help her." Get somebody to help her. You help her.
Well,
so, anyways,
Mark,
they're running.
They kind of have an explanation for, because Mark's attracted to her, too.
I mean, I guess, but we don't realize that until after the body switch. So, basically, Dr. Brennan gets very embarrassed and whatnot at the way that the boys treat his daughter. And they get in the car, and he was like, "Hey, your birthday's coming up. Do you want your present early?" And now she's a teenager, so she's thinking that she's going to get a car. So she doesn't have to ride the bus with those assholes anymore.
Yeah.
And she even tells Aram that. And Aram's like, "You actually believe him?" And she's like, "Yeah, of course I do. He's my father." And then next day or whatever, he tells her to meet her at the office. She meets him at the office. And she finds out that it's not a car. He wants to reconstruct her entire face. To make her look prettier. That's some bullshit.
It is some bullshit.
I mean, this is her father talking. And she has a really good relationship with him. What a bastard.
Yeah, the
and
guy
she's
who
so
plays
growing.
Is good at being a bastard, too. Jason Isaacs from the Harry Potter franchise.
Yeah, he is good at being a bastard. I will have to say that. Didn't he play Voldemort?
No, he played
Draco Malfoy's father. Yeah, so it was just awful. And then she gets convinced to go to prom, to go to the winter prom. And she steps on the ice, and she almost slips and falls. But sweet Sean comes to her rescue and starts dancing with her. And I thought that was really sweet. And all of a sudden she falls. And Lily comes in and grabs him and will not let go and will not let her help her up. She's like, no, you're not doing it. Get away from her.
Yeah.
You don't need to help her up. Someone else can do it. And it's like, bitch, you're supposed to be her best friend. Like, stop being so jealous.
Yeah, exactly.
You're that insecure that you can't have your boyfriend help your friend? Like, all of my friends back in the day, they had boyfriends. They helped me out. I mean, my friendships never last long, and that's probably why, but still. And then Mark comes up and offers her his hand, and she doesn't have anybody else. So she reaches up to grab this boy's hand, and he literally drags her like a rag doll across the ice.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, flings her, like, as if she was a doll all over the ice. And the thing that really pisses me off, that, like I said, there's people watching us, and they're like, oh, somebody help her, and you help her. Or is she okay? Is she okay? No, she's not okay. She just got a freaking iceberg all over her body.
Yeah.
So that really pissed me off because I've been in that situation too where people talk about helping but they don't actually do it. And it's like, help the poor girl. Don't talk about helping her. Help her.
Yeah,
and
some
that
people
part almost
laugh,
made me cry. Yeah, that part almost made me cry. For her a little bit. Because it showed us how bad it could be.
The one good thing the movie really did was setting up how bullied she was and how shitty her life was. So when Aram took over, you were ready for her to fuck shit up. That's the
well,
one
yeah,
really
not
good.
Not only was she bullied, but she was basically physically tormented by Mark.
Yeah, and her dad sucked.
Like,
let's
be true.
Sucked.
Mark physically abused her. Her
yeah.
father, I wouldn't say he physically abused her or anything like that, but her dad didn't help with his unrealistic expectations of her. That didn't help. And then she's got mom, who's basically getting fed pills by dad, so mom really doesn't even know what to do except for make her breakfast that she's not going to eat.
Right.
And she gets back to the winter prom. What's that? What was that, Mike?
Nothing.
Oh. Anyways, she gets back to the winter prom. She gets back home from the winter prom and everything. And she avoids her mom. And her mom made her promise she was going to have a good time. And she goes straight to the bathroom and she starts crying for Aram. Now, Aram at first isn't listening. But then she tells her, look, I need you. I need you really bad right now. Like, you can have what you want. We can switch, and you can protect me and take away my sadness, please. And she showed up. She was like, okay, if you're really ready to do this, put your hand here, and kiss me. And when they did that, they swapped. And Maria ends up in the mirror, and Aram ends up in real life.
Yeah.
Acting as if she is Maria. And the first thing that she does, which her parents are thrilled by this, by the way, which I get it and I don't get it, but her parents, especially her mother, are absolutely thrilled that the first thing she does in the morning is get up, say, I'm hungry, and goes downstairs and gets something to eat because she barely eats. Maria really doesn't eat. I don't know if it's an anorexia thing or if it's her father's a plastic surgeon and she doesn't want to hear it.
Or she's just so depressed.
Or she's just so depressed that she can't even bother looking at food because I have been there. It is hard to keep eating and people are being so nasty to you. And so I understand that. But Aram, we'll just call her Aram. Aram is like, I'm hungry. Excuse me. And she gets a bagel and whatnot. And her mom is like watching her like she just ran a marathon. And I said, your child's eating a bagel. Calm down. And she's like, this is really good. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you like it. Like, calm down. It's a bagel. Like, it's not like you went off and made her a cake or something. It's a bagel. So, I mean, that just pissed me off. Because right there, they should have known that something was wrong with their daughter. And they didn't.
Yeah.
So, that's honestly what really makes me angry about the family dynamic is, like, that's their daughter. And all they do is talk about how fucked up she is and stuff.
They were so disconnected from her, though. That was the whole point.
Well, yeah, they talk shit about her and everything, and that's why she turned to Aram. So Aram gets ready to go to school and whatnot, and she gets there. I don't believe she rides in Lily's car, because Lily does actually get a new car while Maria is still around.
Yeah.
And Maria tells her it's nice. And she gets yelled at, basically, from Lily going, this is not nice. And tells her, like, the make and model of the car and puts the top down and shit. Well, she only did that once in that movie, so I don't even know if it was really her car. Honestly, I'm not sure about that. But she somehow ended up at school the next day. And you could just tell by the music that was playing, because it was like, da-da. Like, it was, like, really, like, revenge music, basically. And she's walking. So far, everyone's leaving her alone. Then all of a sudden, Mark and his friends are snickering and whatnot. And Mark goes, hey, Ice Princess, how you doing? So she, because she's Aram now, decides that this is it. This is what she promised Maria she would do. So she turns around and she walks up to Mark and she grabs his penis, everybody. She straight up sexually molested him. I mean, it was through his pants. But
he enjoyed it.
And then she whispered in his ear, is that because every time I walk by, you get a hard on? Because she asked him if she wasn't funny anymore. Because they weren't laughing in front of her. And
right. She
walks away, and Sean, of all people, comes up to her and is like, hey, he's still shaking. What's going on? And she's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. I take care of it. And he gives her her clip back from the winter formal, and then all of a sudden, bitch face is there. And she asks Lily, like, hey, can you still teach me how to ice skate? I still really want to learn. And she's like, why? Like, the winter prom's over. What do you have to prove? And she's like, self-improvement. And then you see that, like, at nighttime, like dusk, she's actually been going to where they ice skate, and she's been teaching herself. And then when she's not doing that, she's been watching Lily's private lessons. So she knows kind of what to do and how to move. And
right.
She goes with Lily to what they call the old clubhouse, because I guess it used to be like a hangout for kids. Has a huge lake that's completely, like, iced over and whatnot. So they get ready to get on the ice and everything. And Lily's ready to, like, help her and stuff because she knows she's going to fall. Well, Maria doesn't fall. And she starts showing Lily that anything you can do, I can do too. I'm not going to say I can do better because she can't. She's not a natural born figure skater that she don't come overnight. But it was basically anything you can do, I can do too.
Right.
And two of them get a little bit of competition, and Lily's kind of proud of her, and then Lily gets a shot of Aram's eyes. And Aram's eyes, I swear to God, this is why I love this actress so much. But she was able to switch her eyes from, like, sweet, innocent doe eyes to, I'm going to fuck you up. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. 100%.
Like, her whole demeanor changes, but the eyes are the one thing I notice. The eyes basically go like, oh, you better run. And
yes.
She does. She runs to get away from her and everything. She fell again, but she actually got up, and that made Lily even more scared. So they're racing and whatnot, and Lily's paying way too much attention on what Maria is doing. So much that she falls and cracks her head, and she is DOA. She's done on arrival. And, of course, Aaron celebrates for a second, and she calls 911 and whatnot. But it really was, if you think about it, it really was a freak accident. Aaron didn't hurt her. Aaron didn't touch her. Nothing. I mean, when they talked about the winter prom, Aaron was kind of mean to her. Huh?
She did chase her down, though, until she crashed.
Yeah, but, I mean, she could have pushed her, is what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she got death by intimidation, but still. Then Sean ends up needing a shoulder to cry on, so, of course, she's right there. And then Aaron decides, well, I'm fucking with everybody else. Why not fuck with Dad and Mom? And she sets up this elaborate ruse for her mother to run into somebody that her father is banging. And
right. She
does. And the next night, the following night at dinner, Aaron's like, where's Daddy? And she's like, I don't know, maybe he's working late. And she says, no, that's not true. Where's Daddy? And, like, she keeps on giving her, like, excuse after excuse after excuse. And then she finally asks her, like, how her food is. And she's like, it's like your love life, bland and tasteless. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
She got some balls. And then she, like, the mother's really fucked up, though. That's one thing that y'all need to know. The mother is very fucked up, like, psychologically. She's had a lot happen to her.
Well, yeah, what if her kids
did? They don't know that yet, Daniel. So then Aram, she starts getting back at everybody. Like, she goes on a daddy-daughter date again, and, like, she orders a salad that has octopus that is, like, still alive and shit. It was really weird. And she was making an embarrassment of herself on purpose, basically. And her father was getting very angry with her, and finally he snapped, and he told her how he felt about her, that she was just a poor little girl in a grown man's world, and that she needed to stop acting like a child and stuff. Which I thought was a little intense, but she was embarrassing the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him, because they were in, like, from what I could tell, they were in, like, a delicate, like, cuisine kind of restaurant.
Yeah.
So I don't know who to blame there. I think they're both kind of in the blame. And then she started hooking up with Sean a lot. Like, a lot, a lot. And this is her dream come true. This is her dream boy. She had no idea that he felt the same way. So when his girlfriend died, he leaned on Aaron. And Aaron was his shoulder to cry on, but also his bad influence. She was kind of like a devil on his shoulder. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And then she convinces him to go to this hotel before he has to take a calc test in a couple of hours. And he gets a phone call from his mom, asking him where him and Aram are. And he's like, we're at school. And then she's like, no, you're not. The police are at school and they're looking for both of you. So he starts panicking and he's like, we got to go back to the school. We got to give testimonies. And Aram's like, why? No, we don't. And he's like, yes, we do. That's the right thing to do. And, like, she's like, don't leave me, Sean. And Sean's like, well, then come with me. And she's like, no, don't go. Don't leave me. And he didn't listen. And she cracked him in the head with a very, very powerful, durable champagne bottle. And she got him at the kill spot, basically, I'm going to say that. She didn't have to use any other weapon. And at that point, she's crying for Maria to come to the mirror and, like, switch places with her again. Well, Maria's not listening to her. And then she goes to her father's work, where he's sleeping, actually, and he's getting ready for bed, and she shows up. And some people have said that she acts drunk during this. Other people say that she was drunk. So I'm not totally 100% sure about that, because we didn't actually see her drinking.
I don't think she was drunk.
So she might have just been acting like it. And she ends up stripping down and whatnot, and like her father's like, put your clothes on, and he's like, yes, you're a very beautiful young lady, now put your clothes back on. And she's like, but what if I wasn't a beautiful young lady? What if I was deformed? And he is like, she's like, would you still love me? And he's like, yes. And then she slices his throat right open. So then, flashback time. We find out that Maria and Aram were actually identical twins. But Aram had some physical deformity that the plastic surgeon father was not happy with. So a lot of people say that he euthanized Aram before he put her out in the snow to die. But when you euthanize somebody, they don't cry. They can't cry. So if he euthanized that baby and then put her out in the snow and whatnot, why did she cry so much?
Yeah.
That's what doesn't make sense to me. It seems to me more like he just took her outside and left her out there. But whatever it is, it's horrible. And then she goes home and you find out she really doesn't blame her mother. So she lays next to her mom, and it's a really cool effect what they do. Like, they show Aram on one side, and then on the other they show Maria. And it's just really cool. And at the end, it's kind of like the two of them, like, are in the same body.
Yeah, that's what it kind of implies.
Yeah. So it's a very good psychological movie. It's very suspenseful and whatnot. But, yeah, let's get to the parts that we like and everything, then I'm done telling everybody about it.
Okay. I really enjoyed the way it was shot. The cinematography is my favorite part of it. I did enjoy some of the acting as well. I thought India Isley did a great job. I thought the bully did a good job as well, and was a pretty good asshole.
I forgot to tell you guys, the bully does get his leg broken by Aram.
Yeah, she busts his knee.
Stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hey, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed Lily as well. The only thing that I liked, how the movie kind of built up, how she, like I said earlier, she was tormented, she was bullied, she was gone through a lot of shit, her home life sucked. Her mom seemed like the only decent person in her life, but she was very weak. Then Aram shows up, and the way this is shot, and there's a couple of shots of them looking at each other through the mirror, the room kind of, you know, it like the camera going up to them, like she's staring at herself, and you, the way it's shot is done really well.
It really is, because you have the mirror to work with, and that's, like, kind of difficult.
It makes it fire. Having the mirror is fire.
Yeah,
it really
also
is.
It's something that we really haven't seen much of. I mean, yes, back in, like, 2008, there was that movie Mirrors or whatever. But in my opinion, I would say this was 1,000 times better.
100%.
I really think they did an amazing job. I mean, I like I said, I feel like it's very, very underrated. I honestly feel bad for the people that did make this movie because it's a very underrated, very looked over piece.
100%. And the way it's shot in that way is done really well. And because it, like, especially it reminded me of, like, when you're a kid and you're trying not to, like, bust up laughing when you have an inside joke with your friend when her mom walks in on her when her and Aaron are talking and Aaron's trying to keep up to see her reflection. And, like stuff like that and scenes like that is when this movie really shines. The revenge plot can get a bit annoying. And it can get a bit, it goes a little long. That's my only thing with this movie. I wanted to, the runtime's 103 minutes, which isn't terrible. That's not a bad runtime, almost an hour and a half, but it feels
if it was only, if it was longer, it would have been worse.
It feels a good 2 hours. And,
but it keeps you interested. I think.
100%.
Because there's just so many different elements that are going into it. And like you said with the cinematography with the mirror, my favorite mirror shot would have to be when she's washing her hands and she's looking down. And right before she looks up, Aaron's already looking up. It's very quick. It's very subtle. But it's fucking spooky.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a couple of ones like that that I really enjoy. And that's when the movie really shines. When it's doing stuff like that, it really works. And it's playing with those two in the mirror and talking to each other and stuff like that. That's when the movie's at its best. And when it, like, don't get me wrong, when Aaron first walks out, and, like, I remember I was sitting with you guys and I was watching it, and I clapped my hands together. I was like, all right, let's see the revenge tour. I'm excited. But it does go a little long.
Yeah, because you have that music coming in, and you see her eyes, and you're just like, oh, fuck.
And it's badass, but it does go a little long, or at least it feels a little drawn out. By the time she finally kills Lily, it's like, about time. You should have killed her a while ago. And like, the way Sean dies, I don't really like. Like, there's
I don't like that Sean died.
Yeah, he didn't have to die.
He didn't need to die. And that was
especially
the one person that cared about him.
Because, like, who cares if they're merged into the same person? They're probably going to prison for life for everything they've done tonight. So, you know what I mean? Like the fact
that
they
don't fuck themselves.
Too, yeah. The Lily shit you can try to play off as an accident. The dad, you know, maybe the mom can back you up.
I mean, her mom probably does back her up, honestly, because her mom is such a Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And out of it all the time, that her mom would probably back her up.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not sure what would happen to her or what wouldn't, but I'm not that crazy about it to the fact where I would want a sequel.
Oh, no, this doesn't need...
It's not good enough for a sequel.
No. And, well, it's not good enough in a way, but it's also more that this was a complete story and we don't need a sequel. It would feel stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
This was fun. You had a proper ending. There merged as one. That's fine. You don't need a movie exploring any more into that. This was, I like this as a cool concept and idea. Do I think there's things that could have been tweaked? 100%. But for what we got, I thought a lot of it was very rock solid. And very good acting, good. It feels a little Lifetime-y in areas, and it feels like I knew this would be.
But that's
show.
Also because, and you were going to say that, that's also because it is an indie film.
Yeah. But sometimes it drifts between Lifetime-y and big budget horror.
So it is. This is the only movie that she's done so far that hasn't been by Lifetime.
Right.
So she does a really good job, but I do agree what you mean with the whole Lifetime thing, because her and Sean's relationship felt very Lifetime-y.
It does.
So I do agree with you there. Who is your favorite person that she took out?
I thought there was more to Mark than just busting his knee and then, like, putting – like telling him to shush and be like, all right, fuck you. But I thought.
Yeah, no, I think we got cheated.
A lot of the, to be honest, even though we said Sean was the one that wouldn't happen, that was like the kind of the coolest look. I mean, her dad getting his throat slit was the coolest looking, but it was uncomfortable as fuck. Because you're to believe this is a high schooler and the way to see her naked. I know she's really 30 years old in real life, but she don't look like it. And
no,
I don't know. And I understand it needed to be there for the scene. Like, oh my God, I'm a sculpture. I'm not perfect, dad. But it was a little like, oh, come on, put some clothes on.
Like, sure, too much titties.
Yeah. It's better than
little too much
titties. An old lady pussy.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, my favorite person that she took out would have to be Lily, because that part was just so suspenseful. It was very, very suspenseful as far as I'm concerned. The music was very suspenseful. The way that she was looking at her was very suspenseful. I just feel like it was a really good kill. Because like I said, too, she didn't put her hands on her. So technically, yes, she made her fall by intimidating her and shit, but technically, she didn't kill her. But, yeah, so I really liked it. You really liked it. What's the scoring?
I gave it a 7.8. It couldn't 7.8. quite crack. It couldn't quite crack above the 8.0 for me. I thought it was enjoyable, and I did like the movie. Like I said, it's a short enough movie, but it feels a little long, and it feels a little drawn out for no reason. And there's parts of it I really enjoy, and there's parts of it I would have cut out. I liked it a lot, though, and as a concept, it's a good, solid 7.8. What do you give it?
Now, I'm giving it a 7.5 just because the other people around her in the situation, especially with the skating rink, like somebody help her, somebody do something, that really aggravated me and triggered me.
Okay.
I didn't like that at all. Didn't even need to be in there. Like, that was horrible. So I took off points for that. I also took off points for the fact that, like what you said with Mark, we don't really know what happened.
Yeah.
I feel like we kind of got chipped out of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it was really good, but it wasn't good enough for me to say that it was an 8.
There was things missing. Like I said, this felt like blockbustery at times, and then drifted off into other avenues like Lifetime or like independent movie, which makes sense. It is an independent movie, but it felt like a big deal at other times, and then other times just felt kind of mediocre. So I think around the 7.5, 7.8 is a good range to give it. Next week, I think the plan still X, right?
Yes, the plan is X. I have a bunch of videos and stuff to send you. I'm just going to need your, well, no, I don't think I'm working next weekend, so I should be able to just come over and watch it.
All right, cool.
So, all right. Well, hootie hoo, y'all, and thank you all so much for the likes and everything for the TikTok page, not only for the Stabcast, but for the Life of Mindy one. I want to express to you guys that I'm very thankful. Daniel doesn't know this. He's about to find this out now. We are almost at 5,000.
Holy shit.
For the Life of Mindy. We are 4,600 and counting.
Holy shit.
So when we do hit 5,000, even though technically Stabcast has its own page and everything, when we hit 5,000, me and Doug and maybe our and Daniel and maybe our other guy that we have on here sometimes, Eric, will do something for our 5,000 followers.
You never know.
I don't know yet, but we'll do something.
We'll do something.
But thank you all so much for the love and everything, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
100%. And we'll see everybody next week. Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.